What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedulefly. This is a great episode with Greg Ducat, who's the CEO of Revel Systems, a point-of-sale company out of Atlanta, a big and a fast-growing point-of-sale company. And we were introduced by a mutual customer, Fudpuckers, down in Destin, Florida, Chester Kroger. Chester's been on the podcast multiple times. He was in our first Restaurant Owners Uncorked book. We flew down there and did some film work with Chester under the Restaurant Owners Uncorked series. And he's an incredible guy who's been a customer since like 2009. And he was talking to me about Revel and how excited he was about implementing Revel and how he had gotten to know the CEO and was very fond of him. And so he connected us. Greg and I had a great conversation about a month ago, just sort of getting to know each other. And I asked him if he would take the time to be on the podcast, and he was very happy to do it. And this is, you know, just another great example of a company that is in a space that has changed so much over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years. I mean, when we got going with Schedulefly in 2007, everything was this premise-based point of sale where, you know, there's an actual physical, you know, computer server there in each restaurant and had to be manually manipulated with changes, and everything's kind of started moving towards the cloud, and Revel was on the front end of that and has done a great job. So we talked about where point of sale was, where it is now, where it's going. We talked about their philosophy at Revel, being sort of an agnostic, truly cloud-based point of sale where, you know, they're not like some others, they're not sort of kind of pushing through specific products and services and add-ons. They're like Apple. Like, you can use Apple iTunes or you can use Spotify or whatever. So he talks about that. And I just think they have a great philosophy. I like Greg. I like his style. He's a good dude, cares a lot about the business, came into the business in 2018, just prior to COVID, navigated the company through that. Now we're on the other side of that. And we talked about where they're going, and thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Really appreciated him taking the time to do this. And I know you'll enjoy it too. So thank you for listening. But before we dive in, let's dive into a word from our sponsor, Pop Menu. So Pop Menu is not just a sponsor of this podcast. They're a partner of ours at Schedulefly. And Pop Menu is all about making your day easier and your sales bigger. They'll simplify your marketing operations, bring in more guests, and capture customer data for personalized remarketing to keep them coming back. With one super simple to use platform that integrates with most point of sales like Toast and Square and a number of others, Pop Menu starts with a beautifully designed, easy to update interactive menu that transforms the guest experience online. It includes a brand new website that's optimized for search engines like Google for no additional cost, automated digital marketing, online ordering and waitlisting, and you'll never miss another call with their AI answering solution that costs as little as 47 cents an hour. And there's just so much more in there. There's a link to Pop Menu in the show notes. We have a lot of mutual customers. The mutual customers I've spoken to have said, you know, consistently, great product, great customer service, great company, great results. So check them out. Check out this episode with Greg Ducat, CEO, Revel Systems. More episodes coming soon. See you.
Greg, good morning. Thanks for doing this. Take just a second, if you wouldn't mind, and introduce yourself.
Morning, Will. Thank you for having me. My name is Greg Ducat. I'm the CEO of Revel Systems.
All right. Down in Atlanta, where I was hoping to be today, but I'm glad we're able to do this via Zoom. One of the advantages of this great technology that we now have at our fingertips.
That's right. We're back. We're visiting COVID again. You know, you and I, we're doing the Zoom thing, but that's okay. No problem. We'll get together at some point in the future.
We will. You know, it's interesting because I've always been kind of a phone guy, and I just kind of shied away from doing Zooms. You know, I mean, we had this before COVID came around, but I didn't really like to use it a whole lot. And now I feel weird if I'm talking on the phone and I'm not looking at the person. You get so used to doing this. It's become part of one of the great tools that we have now. So, and it is nice, and it's great for something like this. I mean, you know, we, we appreciate you taking the time to do this. We've been doing this podcast for years. We're pushing 500 episodes, and you know, the majority of those have been with people that own and run restaurants, independent restaurants, hospitality groups, and things like that. But we've been, you know, really lucky over the last year to speak to some folks like you that are CEOs of fast growing, you know, great brands in this space. There's a lot of great technology here now. In the restaurant space, there wasn't a lot of great technology 10, 12 years ago when we got going. There was not a whole lot at all. I feel like over the last 5 or 6 years, 8 to 10 years, there's just been a massive amount of investment. And this is great for restaurants because there is so much technology, but almost to the point where the pendulum has swung so far that there's so much stuff available to them now that I don't envy somebody trying to figure out, okay, we need a new fill in the blank, you know, whether it's a scheduling software, online ordering software, point of sale software, lots of choices they have to make and lots of information they have to filter through. And I bring that around to just ask you to just kind of share at a high level, you know, the Revel value proposition and why you came on board in 2018 and, you know, what's exciting about Revel.
Well, yeah, it is. It is daunting for a restaurateur. I've been with Revel a little over 5 years, as you mentioned, and you know, this is the first time I've been engaged in the restaurant hospitality side of the business. I actually did run a company in the travel business, and I have a whole lot of respect for restaurateurs because they are they wear many hats. And one of those is technology. And, you know, I think the big part of Revel and why Revel exists is that, you know, there have been systems out for a long time that have been older in their technology platform, which has inhibited a restaurant's ability to adapt new things easily. And that's the key here, easily. So when Revel was developed a little over 10 years ago, it was the first native cloud. And the native aspect is really important because there's many pretenders in the world that say we are cloud enabled, we're cloud this, but it's partial cloud. And our product is really native to the cloud. And the benefit to our restaurateurs is one is we're able to maintain the product in a better way. We're able to enhance the product more quickly and adapt to changes in the marketplace. But we're also able to integrate to other systems very easily. And your company and my company have the opportunity to work together on you know, a recent account, and that allows us to connect. And the way we view our product and our company is that we provide restaurateurs the choice to choose the best solutions for them, whether it's the easiest for them to run or the best solution, depending upon where they are in their technology capabilities. And, you know, if you think of an iPhone, our view is Apple does a great job of keeping their product open. They have their music offering, but you can also do Pandora or Spotify or whatever. And it's very easy to use that. So our view is we should keep that easy for the restaurateur to adapt new technologies and integrate them. And the key for us is to mask as best we can that complexity for a restaurateur, because they're not technologists, and candidly, they can't afford a big technology staff because the margins are much different than other industries. So we continue to focus our efforts on that native cloud, masking technology, and making it easy for them to consume new technology that allows their business to grow and flourish.
Can you explain, like, okay, so let's say I own a restaurant and I'm thinking about, okay, it's time for us to, you know, change our point of sale system. And I'm listening to this. That raises some questions immediately of what does that mean? The difference between native and, you know, cloud enabled or in some of the other variances of that.
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's several areas. One is security and safety. You know, older systems have point of sale systems have vulnerabilities that Apple products and the native cloud products don't have, which you know, we've had even in the recent past, in the last month, some folks that were unfortunately, you know, another competitor of ours that had a ransomware issue and it put their system out of commission for several days. So number one, that's security. Number two is the ease of implementation and adaptability. No point of sale implementation is easy. Even ours is hard. It's hard to do. But on a relative basis, relative to older and products that aren't native to the cloud, it's a lot easier to do. And then last but not least, it's the native cloud allows you to do things that you could never think of in the past. For example, in our product, if the internet goes down, you can continue to transact with our product in an offline mode and then store and forward and do all your authorizations for your payments and such. Whereas the older systems that had that a problem, in addition, those older systems have a server that manages at each location. So if they have multiple locations, they have a server there, which means someone has to maintain that. Someone has to care and feed for that server that keeps the system running at each location. We don't have that. So it lowers their cost, lowers their complexity, and it makes the system more reliable.
Gotcha. Okay. What are, what's your sweet spot? What are the types of restaurants and hospitality businesses that I know you serve from, you know, one location up to many, but where do you seem to have the most success?
Yeah, it's changed a little bit. So in our early days, we were very focused on QSR and SMB. And what I mean SMB is probably sub 5 locations. And that was our, you know, our call to action. When I joined, we started really looking at that. And what we found was a number of our customers, because of our product and the capabilities within our product to do enterprise and franchising, had grown from 2 locations to 12 locations to 22 locations and so on and so forth. And we went and visited them. They said, you know, you really do this multi-location, multi-menu, multi-pricing and franchising really, really well. And as we looked at the business, we said, you know, the competitive set in that we call it mid-enterprise, call it 10 locations. Now we sell to single locations and, you know, and beyond, but our sweet spot would be 10 locations up to 1,000. And it would be QSR and table service oriented. And the reason that is the legacy systems have the problems that we just mentioned in the previous segment. And they're looking for a solution to advance themselves and refresh their technology stack. So that's really our focus. Now, again, we will sell a smaller, you know, if they have a couple locations, we do have some qualifiers there. And one is, are they sophisticated? Do they understand their business? If they're just looking for a transaction processing system at the lowest price, there are some reasonable alternatives there that are just good enough. And that's not really what we're looking for. We're looking for someone that might have 2 or 3 locations that is either complex or thinking about growing and using the same technology stack in that to enable that growth.
Gotcha. Okay. And are you primarily US or?
No, we sell worldwide. We have sold historically in almost 90 countries. About 80% of our business is in North America and the remainder is outside. We do focus in a couple of different geographies, Australia, Singapore, New Zealand, the UK, parts of the Middle East, some locations internationally require what they call fiscal compliance, which creates challenges. And not that we can't do it, but it's expensive to do. So unless there's a concentration, the customer has a number of locations in a geography that has fiscal compliance, the economics just don't work for us to put 2 locations for a brand in a country that has a fiscal compliance requirement. They'd probably have to have potentially hundreds to justify that.
Okay. And do you have, so do you have field sales reps?
We do. We have a blend. So we have, we have a great network of channel partners that represent Revel, and they do everything from selling the product to supporting the product and beyond. And it's typically, their focus is typically 10 locations or fewer. Now they will sell larger from time to time. And then we have a direct, we have direct sales teams that sell 10 and beyond. And they're broken down in a couple of different categories. Emerging enterprise up to 50 locations, and then 50 beyond is our direct team. So it's a blend of channel partners who are an extension of our team, an extension of our company, and then our direct staff.
Okay, gotcha. Do y'all, is your growth all, is it driven by new accounts? Is it driven by providing more services to existing accounts, or both?
It is both, but the predominance is new accounts that we sell. So, you know, we've had the good fortune of selling a number of accounts that have been in growth mode. One in the restaurant space that's really pretty well known is Dave's Hot Chicken, if you've heard that name.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Where is that? You know, they started with us and had 20 units. Today they have close to 200 units. So they've just continued to franchise and grow, and they have expectations to grow beyond that. And then, so that's a new account that started with us very small and continued to grow. And then we have existing accounts that continue to expand. One that is a recent expansion for us is a group called HTO. And HTO is out of Austin, Texas. And with us, they've grown from a few locations up to 60. And now they have new investment, and they have a very accelerated plan. So their growth plans over the next couple of years to grow to 250 units. So that's an expansion. So the good news for us is we're seeing both. We're seeing new logos and expansions in our existing accounts. New logos is probably 2/3 of the growth, and expanding our accounts is about 1/3.
Okay, good. Take me a step back. I'm really curious how did y'all manage through, just kind of at a high level, how did you manage through COVID? What were some of the main, issues you had to overcome during that period?
Yeah. What an amazing time. You know, I think back, and you probably do the same. We wasn't that long ago where we said to our entire staff, I remember being in our Atlanta headquarters and pulling everyone together and saying, hey, we're going to go home for 2 weeks and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Just, yeah. You know, take your computer equipment and go home, and this will be all over, and we'll be back together in 2 weeks. And it, you know, there's still lingering issues even today. But when we looked at our business in March and April, because we're in the cloud, we can see how all of our restaurant customers were performing. And generally they were down anywhere from, you know, 50 to 75%. And we were, you know, those first few months, we were like, holy cow, this is really going to be bad for everybody. So our initial plan was, you know, we looked at our business, and we did, we were fortunate. We had very few layoffs. We did furlough some people on our staff. We also created something called Revel Relief, which we gave over $1 million back to our restaurant customers that were really struggling and helping them through the tough times. And then we also, as things began to come back, we looked at our product roadmap, and we completely altered our product roadmap. We took and doubled down in a couple areas. We highly enhanced our drive-through functionality, curbside pickup, third-party delivery. And we said, you know, for the restaurants that the business was coming back, patrons weren't coming into the restaurant. They were getting to the restaurants either through the drive-through lane, pickup, or third-party delivery. And that really, those benefits, those things that we did in the product helped a lot of our customers transform their businesses that were predominantly on-prem to an off-prem model so they could survive. And that's helped us win some larger chains today that have a drive-through, you know, big drive-through capability or needs for capability and such. So it was amazing. And then we were on our employee or our staff front, we were able to bring most people back within, I think, about 90 days because our business started to kind of come back. And it took a few months to come all the way back. And then we started seeing people that had older systems that needed these off-prem functionality that couldn't adapt them quickly, say, well, I need a new system and I need a system like yesterday because my current system, either I can't consume a bolt-on because it's inflexible because it's not cloud native, or I just can't get there quickly enough. So we actually, the second half of 2020 and through 21 was amazing with new customers that were changing their technology to survive what was happening at that point.
Yeah, you guys handled it really well from, you know, the folks I've spoke to that I know that are your customers. And it's quite an interesting time. And a lot of good, I guess, you know, came from that. I mean, it forced us all to a lot of restaurants implemented a lot of technology that they had on their radar that it would have taken them 3 to 5 years to get to. And now it's, you know, we're over that hump. Right. So the one thing, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this, and you guys tend to be on the slightly larger side of the number of customers, it seems. So you may not run into this as much, but in our world, you know, at Schedulefly, I think our average customer has like 2.5 locations or something. Like a big customer for us has 15 to 20. That's our top end, right? We see Toast all the time. And they seem to be just, you know, this big giant thing that's just mowing through the restaurant world and taking everything over. Do you run into them a lot? And if so, how do you compete against that massive machine that they've built?
Yeah. Well, first off, on your customer base, I think you're a number of your customers. My perception is I don't know your customers intimately, but I know a few. They may not have a lot of locations, but they are larger customers that have a lot of complexity, which is another great fit for our product.
Yeah.
And you know, our product has a lot of capabilities and flexibilities in it that we mask from the restaurateurs, but it allows us to tackle a complex environment. We love complexity, and the system does very well in a complex environment. And that's actually a pretty good segue into, you know, how we view Toast. Toast is a great company. They've done, you know, a lot of things really well. And I think their focus has been the SMB market, table service specifically in the early days. I think they're trying to transform themselves into more QSR offerings. They're trying to expand internationally now because they're bumping up against how do I continue to grow as a public company. I think the big difference between our two companies is they're a payments company first. And we're a technology company first. So I think the decisions they make, the incentives they make are around capturing a customer's payments and increasing their revenue through increases in payments offerings. And not that they don't do a decent job in technology, but you know, the decisions we make, the investments we make are all around the technology and enabling that. We offer payments, but we don't mandate it. Many of our customers take it because they want one place for support and they want an easier capability. We don't mandate it. And that's a big difference. So I think, you know, the who we are that way. And I think the second thing is what we talked about earlier is our openness. Toast is marching down a path of creating more and more of their own products so they can sell them to their base of customers. And, you know, you'd argue, can you be the master of all these different things with your R&D development? You will sacrifice functionality. Your company will you focus on one thing, you do one thing really well. Our company focuses on being the best point of sale system that we can be. We offer some things, but we also say, you don't have to choose ours. We keep it open. And it's back to that Apple Music, Pandora, Spotify. And I think in Toast world, they're trying to push people into their ancillary products to grow revenue. And you'd argue you just can't do all those things well. And there's, you know, there's early purveyors. Micros and NCR tried this path many years ago and they failed. And they failed because it's hard to do all of these things really well. So our view is provide some of these functionalities, but if someone wants a higher capability or something more that fits their needs, we should make it easy for them to connect that into our product. So I think that's the fundamental difference. Payments company first, open platform are big, big things that are differences in that. And then last but not least, our company, especially in the mid-enterprise or larger SMB customers, we like to have a relationship with our customers, you know, a human relationship. And Toast's model, because there are so many numbers in what they do, it's highly automated. So you don't get a lot of relationship with the provider. And some customers are fine with that. Others that are more sophisticated and or larger, at least from our view, want to be able to talk to a human and interact with a human. And when there's things that have challenges to interact with people, because they're in the hospitality business.
Yeah, that's the part that I find so fascinating. I mean, I tip my hat. They built a, it's grown really fast. They have a big, to me, it's like a big sales machine, and it's a tidal wave that's kind of come through. But long game, like, you know, we'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. I do think that it fascinates me. Well, first of all, so I commend you. I mean, I tip my hat to you. Our mutual customer, Chester, introduced us. You're the CEO of a big company. You got a lot going on, but you took my initial call and here you are telling the story on our podcast. So, I mean, that alone is that's what you're talking about. It's that human interaction. So, I mean, I really appreciate that. The one of the things I find really interesting, and not just in the POS world, but just in the restaurant tech space, is there is, I mean, there's like 300 or 400 restaurant technology companies now and growing. It's just nonstop. And so much of that is, as it should be, it's, you know, it's in growth mode because it's venture backed and it's got to grow, and that's fine. And so do you guys. You have to grow, but you have a good balance of those relationships and the customer service. I mean, I find it fascinating when I hear a company doesn't provide good customer service when they serve restaurants. I mean, this is like, that's what they do. They live in this world of like taking care of others. That's what hospitality is. And taking care of others is essentially what customer service is. And when you have crappy service, and this of all industries, it baffles me. But I know that that's something that y'all have hung your hat on, and you do a great job with it. And that's the relationship part of it. So I congratulate you for that. I think it's just, you know, long game that wins ultimately in this, when you're serving this world.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, we're not perfect, right? We're human. And, but we aspire to perfection. And it's technology, right? So it's not easy. So things will happen. Our view is when things happen, it's more like it will in some case, because it's complex, you know, and especially even in Chester's restaurant, as you know, is highly complex. It's very unique. Stuff will happen, right? And our view is people want a partner that when those things, or if those things arise, we can band together and say, okay, let's solve this issue. Let's get you back in a good place, whether it's a customer's understanding of the product, or they set something up, they did it, right? Which happens, or we did it. That's irrelevant. It's like, okay, let's get you back going. Let's, so you can satisfy and delight your customers, and the technology should enable that. And hopefully that's, you know, the rarity, but it does happen. And our view is not perfect, but neither one of us is, but let's just make sure we're arm in arm and there's no finger pointing, and we partner on getting things back in a good place. So you guys don't worry about technology. You worry about satisfying your customer, and your staff is not distracted with the technology.
Yep. Yes. Which is key. Okay. Well, I want to ask you one more thing. So, you know, we've been doing this for 16 years, and back when we started, everything was this, as you mentioned, like sort of this premise based, like somebody had to come out there and maintain the server. If you wanted to add something, somebody's got to come out there and put it on, and then things start moving to the cloud. Where does this go from here? What's next? Is it a consumer, like, you know, a phone based interaction where you don't even need these? Like what happens next with point of sale?
Yeah, it's a great question. Our view is that, you know, Revel itself has built itself into being a platform. It really is an open platform, and it's essentially irrelevant where the source of demand comes in. So whether it's a third party delivery, whether it's online ordering, whether it's a drive through, all those things, the Revel system kind of controls that as the gatekeeper of that. And it allows the restaurateur to actually decide the most profitable channels, how I manage that demand, and those kinds of things. So if I have a restaurant full of patrons, I may want to throttle my third party so it's not consuming my kitchen, and I can continue to satisfy the people where I don't have a extra fee associated with it. And our view is down the road, any device should be able to interact with that. So our you know, the future in on-prem is more and more the phone, people have a phone, will be the ordering device, and it will give folks more flexibility to order when they want, add to their order, close out their check, all those things in a restaurant. And whether you're on-prem or around the premise, it will be that. So I think the future is there'll be less and less hardware technology in the restaurant and more of a bring your own device that connects to the central hub in the restaurant, which is your order management capability and how you manage that demand and satisfy that demand in the most efficient way.
Gotcha. Two more things I want to ask you real quick. One is, you know, I go through your bio on LinkedIn, and you've been the CEO of several different companies in different industries. I meant to ask you this earlier on, but Greg, why did you come join Revel and get into this fun, crazy world of hospitality?
And timing was perfect. No, so I, you know, look, I have run several different companies, both public and private. And I didn't know much about the restaurant industry. And candidly, I thought point of sale, it's got to be kind of easy, right? I mean, and I'd sold big ERP systems and systems that maintain nuclear power plants for utilities. And so very, very complex systems. And literally in the last example, if the system didn't work, people died, right? We tracked exposure to radiation in nuclear power plants. It's like, that's a pretty important thing that works.
Yeah.
I happen to know the private equity firm that is invested in Revel, and had sold a business in the utility space that was headquartered in Atlanta in 2017, in mid 2017, and just trying to figure out what I would do next. I really enjoy being active and working in the technology world. And they happened to call and say, you know, we've got this company Revel, and it's in the restaurant space. And again, my perception was point of sale is kind of easy, right? But as I dug in, I found several things. One is Revel had just an amazing staff of people, an amazing set of assets, the product itself, the company, and, you know, just a ton of things that were really pretty exciting. And two, the market, you know, as I researched the market, it was very ripe for a new technology. And it's really still in the early stages of this transformation. You'd be surprised how many restaurateurs are still on older technology that are, you know, waiting for the right time to go to new technology. And there's just a tremendous opportunity. So I said, you know, a great partner, our investor is wonderful. They're very, very collaborative, and their view, unlike many other financial investors, is build a great company and everything will work out. Take care of your people, take care of your customers. And that's just a very unique, refreshing area to be in. And then you say, great market, great company with a lot of excellent people. And you go, And, you know, we were growing up as a business. We were kind of going through our early adolescence, and we needed to mature a little bit. And that's, you know, why I came in, and we added to the leadership team just to mature the business and directionally prioritize things. And it's been very successful, and we're, you know, we're very thankful for the team we have and the organization and the customers we have. They're just awesome. So, you know, it's been great, although there was this very challenging set of circumstances in the middle. And look, it hasn't been easy for restaurateurs. I really feel for them. And even today, it's very challenging, right? They've got food costs that continue to be high, labor costs that continue to be high. Fortunately, people are back in restaurants, but there's these economic factors outside that you say, well, gee whiz, if are people going to alter their behavior or look to do different things? And they have to be, they're constantly have to be mindful of the business operation, the costs involved, and then how they use the tools that we offer. And you said earlier, there's so many tools. How do they sift through, you know, what's right for me? And how do I pick your system or Revel's system? I mean, how do I even digest all of that when I'm, in some cases, as the owner or the manager, clearing tables with washing dishes? And because, you know, that's what you do in this environment. And so I have a lot of respect for restaurateurs, because they are they got a lot on their plate, pun intended. And you know, they somehow managed to do that well. Our job, your company and my company, is how do we make that easier for them to understand and easier for them to consume, and make this a tool that allows them to focus on what they need to focus on, and not on our support lines going, I got a problem. You know, how does this work?
Well, good position to be in with a private equity company that has that philosophy and that mentality. We bootstrap this, so we own it, and that's our mentality. Just take great care of the customers, make life easier for them. Let the chips fall where they may. Everything will work out just fine. Just build a great business. But a little bit more rare.
I have worked with the alternative, which is, yeah, just put some paint and wallpaper on it, and we'll just, you know, we'll monetize this in some way. And that's not the right thing to do. Our investor is, hey, well, let's do it right. Let's, you know, do it quality, do it right. And it all that you don't have to worry about anything. And they've been doing it 40 years, and they've never had a losing investment. And I think it's their philosophy of do it right. You know, don't shortcut these things.
Yeah. Putting, you know, lipstick and rouge on something and dressing it up, that no great company that has had some amazing, you know, story was ever built that way. One of the things the last thing I want to ask you about is, I noticed, you know, you all support several great organizations. You're philanthropically, and one of those is Giving Kitchen. Just talk a little bit about that. I just like promoting what they're doing anytime I can, because I think it's a great organization.
Yeah, no, well, thanks for asking that, because that's a big part of our, you know, our tenants, and you can build a great business and all that, but what are you actually doing to further the community. And we're just very blessed to be able to do that. We have a very active philanthropic approach to things. And I'll talk about a couple. I'll end with Giving Kitchen. There's a few that we support. On the West Coast, we have an office in San Francisco. We support a group that helps children in schools, and we build out backpacks and things like that. And we also have an office in Lithuania that helps an organization that helps people with autism and helps facilitate that. So our team there does a lot of group activities and giving there, and the company gives there. In Atlanta, we also support a group called the City of Refuge, and the City of Refuge is in one of the most difficult zip codes in the United States. It's here in City of Atlanta that has the highest incarceration, highest crime levels, highest addiction levels. And they built a campus there that's been amazing, brings people in, gives them job skills, security first, job skills. And they've begun to expand in other cities in the United States because the cities have come to them and said, we've tried this. It's hard for us to figure out that you guys have seemed to have broken the code and are doing really, really great things. City of Refuge also has a learning center for technology skills. So Revel has brought a number of people in on our tech team, cybersecurity and tech team. So we're beginning to hire people that now have career jobs that are, you know, growing and able to flourish in that. And then last but not least, the one you mentioned is Giving Kitchen. And we're so happy to be part of Giving Kitchen. The story of Giving Kitchen is that the founders had a restaurant themselves. And unfortunately, the husband there had colon cancer and passed away, and they couldn't keep their restaurant. So, you know, the passion was, how do we continue to, Jen, how do we continue to help restaurant employees not have this situation? We learned about it early, and its gestation is beginning to grow beyond Atlanta. It's now into Tennessee. I think they're looking at the Carolinas now and growing. But we've been, you know, helping them with both funding and activities around restaurant employees who either don't have healthcare or not able to get healthcare or afford it when they have, you know, a tragic or ailment or something that they're not able to work. And it's everything in the early days of COVID, you know, people had COVID and couldn't come back to work, to today you see somebody broke their arm or can't work, hurt their back, and giving them the ability to not fall in a place where they're just behind the eight ball, you know, because of healthcare costs, and they're able to get back on their feet and get back to work or get back to health. And it's a great organization, and we're just, you know, couldn't be more thrilled to be part of it.
It really is. It's an amazing story. I love what they're doing. It's just wonderful to see organizations like that. And, you know, Ben's friends that help with substance abuse issues and things like that. The Giving Kitchen was, where's my book here? Got these guys coming on the podcast here, I think next week. There's this new book called Hospitality DNA. Dave and Dave, buddies of mine, wrote this, and it's a great book. And they talk about Jen and Giving Kitchen in there. And
Jen is amazing. She is such a wonderful person and so passionate about it. And as we met her early, as she was starting, we just said, we've got to find a way to be part of this. And she, you know, we're just so blessed to be part of that organization and be able to help. And look, it falls right in line with what we're trying to do from a business perspective. And as you dig, you know, you've been around restaurants a lot longer than I have, as you know. Unfortunately, again, because of the business model and because of, you know, their costs and because they have people that are part-time work or what have you, they don't have healthcare. And, you know, if you have a major ailment or a problem or substance abuse, you know, those are not inexpensive things to overcome. And for her to be able to, you know, rally people together and get the help there. And, you know, she sends out a report that all the people that have been helped and stories, and you're like, man, that's just, every time I read it, I'm like, wow, this is just so awesome. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a great industry and full of, you know, it's the most diverse, I mean, truly diverse, racially, socioeconomically, you know, it doesn't matter where you, you know, whether you even went to college, where you went, none of it matters. It's just, do you want to show up, you know, work hard as a part of a team and try to take great care of our customers? And if so, bring it on and you can be as successful as you want to be. It's wonderful people. So, and it's great, but the, you know, yes, there are a lot of issues too. And so I love that they're doing that. Tell, send this episode over to Jen. I will. I would love to have her on this podcast. I would love to share that story and just thank her for what she does.
I'd be happy to ask her and send this over and ask her if you'd like me to.
I would love that. I really would. I would appreciate it. It would be a big favor. On that note, I want to just thank you again, Greg, for taking the time and sharing your story. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. Love what y'all are doing. Great to have, you know, mutual, happy, super happy customers like Chester and many others. And just thank you for doing this today.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, you and I got the chance to meet and I learned a little bit about your company. It's you guys, while you might be a little bit smaller than we are, you have the same tenets, right? The same character that we have, which is, you know, build a great company, take care of your customers, do the right thing. And that's, you know, that's really what I really enjoyed about meeting you. And one of the reasons why I wanted to participate with you on this. And, you know, I thank you for the opportunity. And I feel that, feel blessed that Chester connected the two of us and, you know, looking forward to working together on you on a number of other accounts in the future.
Well, you'll see him before I will, I'm sure. I've been down there. It's been years. I'd like to get back down there. But when you are down there, tell him I said hello. Great dude. And
I will.
Glad he was able to make this connection. And just thank you very much. And I know I've got a conversation with Sydney here in a little bit. So we'll wrap this. I'll get this episode up in the next, you know, few days. And again, I appreciate your time very much, Greg.
Well, thank you very much, Will. I appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to you doing the same thing with Sydney. I think you'll really enjoy it.
I am too. All right, man.
Have a good one, buddy. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, y'all. Before you dial out, two quick things. Number one, if you're on iTunes listening to this, please take a second and give us a star rating and make a comment. It would help so much. If you're on Spotify, please follow the podcast. If you're on any other platform, rate us or follow us or whatever their mechanism is. This is what the algorithms use to determine what podcasts to put in front of people that are looking for content like this. We have competitors that are big venture-backed companies, and they spend tons of money gaming the system and getting their podcast ranked higher than ours, even though they have, you know, barely any episodes and we don't believe as authentic content as we do. So we like to do things the right way and do it organically and ask you to help us get there. So thank you for that. If you will do that, that would be awesome. Second, if you're in a restaurant that's on pencil and paper or Excel, or you're not on a scheduling software, or you're using a scheduling software and you're paying a lot of money for it and it's got a lot of bells and whistles and a lot of things you don't need, check out Schedulefly. We are at schedulefly.com. We have a 30-day free trial. We have a super simple product and legendary customer service. And my cell phone number is right there on the trial sign-up page if you got questions. Thank you all. More coming soon. See you.